Hello, everyone. Is it raining at your house? It is here. I'm watching out my window for Princess Tamalpa. Here she comes. I'll run open the door for her.
Oh my gosh, Aunt Sally, what a shower! It came on so suddenly that I was caught without my umbrella.
But how did you stay so dry?
I used my magic staff.
Magic? Looks like a plain old walking stick to me.
I know, but it's made of a very special wood.
What's that?
Well, it's explained in the story I have this morning about Klaus and his wonderful magic staff. This is the story of Klaus and his wonderful magic staff by Howard Pyle. Hans and Klaus were brothers. Hans was the elder and Klaus was the younger. Hans was the richer and Klaus was the poorer. Well, that's the way the world goes sometimes. Everything was easy for Hans at home. He drank much milk and had sausages and French bread 3 times a day. But poor Klaus worked and worked, and no luck came of it. Well, that also is the way that the world goes sometimes. One time, Klaus spoke to Hans of this matter.
See, Hans, you should give me some money, for that which belongs to one brother should help the other.
But Hans saw through different colored glasses than Klaus.
No, I'll do nothing of the kind. You want money? You go out into the world to look for it. Some folks say that money rolls about the world like peas on a floor.
So said Hans, for Klaus was so poor that Hans was ashamed of him and wanted him to leave home so as to be rid of him for good and all. This was how Klaus came to go out into the world. But before he went, he cut himself a good stout staff of hazel wood to help his heavy feet over the road. Now the staff that Klaus had cut was a rod of witch hazel, which has the power of showing wherever treasure lies buried. But Klaus knew no more of that than a baby chick in the shell. So off he went into the world, walking along with great contentment, kicking up little clouds of dust at every step, and whistling as gaily as though he had no troubles. By and by he came to the great town, and then he went to the marketplace and stood with many others with a straw in his mouth, for that meant that he wanted to be hired by somebody. Presently there came along an old, old man, bent almost double with the weight of the years which he carried upon his shoulders. This old man was a famous follower of the evil arts. He had read as many as 100 books, so that he was more learned than any one in all the world, even the mayor of the village. He knew, as well as the birds know when the cherries are ripe, that Klaus had a stick of witch hazel, so he came to the marketplace, peering here and peering there, just as honest folks do when they're looking for a servant. After a while, he came to where Klaus was, and then he stopped in front of him.
Do you want to work, my friend?
Why, yes. Why else would I be in a marketplace with a straw in my mouth?
Well, they bargained and bargained and talked and talked, and the end of the matter was that Klaus agreed to sell his services to the old master of evil arts for 7 pennies a week. So they made their bargain, and off went the master with Klaus at his heels. After they had gone a little distance away from the crowd at the marketplace, the master of evil arts asked Klaus,
"Where did you get that fine staff of hazel?"
"Oh, I got it over yonder."
"But can you find the place again?"
"Well, I don't know. Maybe I can, maybe I can't."
"But suppose you had a gold coin in your hand, then could you find the place again?"
"Oh, yes. In that case, I'm sure I could find the place again."
"Good. Then here is a bottle of yellow water. If you will take the bottle of yellow water and pour it over the stump from which you cut your staff, there will come 7 green snakes out of a hole at the foot of the hazel bush. After these 7 snakes, there will come a white snake with a golden crown on its head. from out of that same hole. Now, if you will catch that white snake in the empty bottle and bring it to your master, you shall have not one gold coin, but two.
Oh, yes, I can do that. That won't be hard.
So he took the bottle of yellow water and off he went. By and by he came to the place where he had cut his hazel twig. There he did as the master of black arts had told him. He poured the yellow water over the stump of hazel from which he had cut his staff. Then everything happened just as the other had said. First there came three green snakes out of the hole at the foot of the hazel bush, and after they had all gone, there came a white snake with a little golden crown on its head and with its body gleaming like real silver. Then Klaus caught the white snake and put it into the bottle and corked it up tightly. After he had done this, he went back to the master of black arts again. Now this white snake was what the folks call a knowing snake in that land. Whoever eats of a broth made of it can understand the language of all the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. So nobody need wonder that the master was as glad could be to have his white snake safe and sound. He bade Klaus build a fire of dry wood, and as soon as there was a good blaze, he set a pot of water upon it to boil. When the water in the pot began to boil, he chopped up the white snake into little pieces and threw them into it. So the snake boiled and boiled and boiled, and Klaus stared with wonder as though he would never shut his eyes again. Now it happened that just about the time that the broth was cooked, the master was called out of the room for this or for that. No sooner was his back turned than Klaus began to wonder what the broth was like.
I will just have a little taste. Surely that could do no harm to the rest of the soup.
So he stuck his finger first into the broth and then into his mouth. But what the broth tasted like he never could tell, for just then the master came in again, and Klaus was so frightened at what he had done that he had no wits to think of the taste of anything. Presently the master of evil arts went to the pot of broth and, taking off the lid, began smelling of it. But no sooner had he sniffed a smell of the steam than he began thumping his head with his knuckles and tearing his hair and stamping his feet.
Somebody's had a finger in my broth!
For the master knew at once that all the magic had been taken out of it by the touch of Klaus's finger. As for poor Klaus, he was so frightened that he fell upon his knees and began begging.
Oh, dear master!
But he got no further than this, for the master bawled at him.
You have taken the best. You may have the rest.
And so saying, he threw pot and broth and all at Klaus, so that if he hadn't ducked his head, he might have been scalded to death. Then Klaus ran out into the street, for he saw that there was no place for him to stay in that house. Now in the street there was a rooster and a hen, scratching and clucking together in the dust. And Klaus understood every word that they said to each other, so he stopped and listened to them. This is what they said. The rooster said to the hen, and the hen said to the rooster,
cluck, 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 yes, yonder he goes.
He is leaving the best behind him.
Cluck, 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 what is that he is leaving?
He is leaving behind him the witch hazel staff that he brought with him.
Cluck, 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 yes, that is so. He would be a fool to leave that behind, yet he is not the first one to think that peas are pebbles.
As for Klaus, you can guess how he opened his eyes, for he saw how things really were, and that he had other ears than he had before.
Whee! That is good! I have bought more for my penny than I had in my bargain.
As for the hazel staff, he was not going to leave that behind, you may be sure. So he sneaked about the place till he laid hand on it again. Then he stepped away, right foot foremost, for he did not know what the master of black arts might do to him if he should catch him. Well, after he had left the town, he went along, tramp, 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 until by and by he grew tired and sat down beneath an oak tree to rest himself a little. Now, as he sat there, looking up through the leaves, thinking of nothing at all, two ravens came flying and lit in the tree above him. After a while, the ravens began talking together, and this was what they said. The one raven said,
"Caw, yonder is poor Klaus sitting below us."
And the other raven said,
"Caw, poor Klaus, did you say, brother? Do you not see the witch Hazel lying on the ground behind him?"
"Caw, caw, oh yes, I see that. But what good does it do to him?"
"Caw, caw, it does him no good now. But if he were to go home again and strike on the great stone on the top of the hill back of Herr Axel's house, then it would do him good, for in it lies a great treasure of silver and gold."
"Caw."
Klaus had picked up his ears at all this talk, you may be sure.
"See, that is the way a man will pass by a great fortune in the little world at home to seek for a little fortune in the great world abroad."
All of which was very true. After that, he lost no time in getting back home again.
"Oh, what, are you back again?"
"Oh, yes, I am back again."
"That is always the way it is with a bad penny."
As for Klaus, he was full of thoughts, but he said nothing of them to Hans. Off he went to the high hill back of Herr Axel's house, and there, sure enough, was the great stone at the very top of the hill. Klaus struck on the stone with his oaken staff, and it opened like the door of a great vault, for all was blackness within. A flight of steps led down below, and down the steps Klaus went. But when he had come to the bottom of the steps, he stared till his eyes were like great round saucers, for there stood sacks of gold and silver piled up like bags of grain in the malt house. At one end of the room was a great stone seat, and on the seat sat a little elf smoking a pipe. As for the beard of the little man, it was as long as he was short, for it hung down so far that part of it touched the stone floor.
"How do you find yourself, Klaus?"
"So good."
"And what would you like to have, Klaus?"
"I would like to have some money, if you please."
"Take what you want, only do not forget to take the best with you."
"Oh, no. I won't forget the best."
So he held the staff tighter than ever in his fist, for what could be better than the staff that brought him there? So he went here and there, filling his pockets with the gold and silver money till they bulged out like the pockets of a thief in the orchard. But all the time he kept tight hold of his staff, I can tell you. When he had as much as his pockets could hold, he thanked the little elf and went his way, and the stone door closed behind him. And now Klaus lived like a calf in the green cornfield. Everything he had was of the best, and he had twice as much of that as any of the neighbors. Then how Brother Hans stared and scratched his head and wondered when he saw how Klaus sat in the sun all day, doing nothing but smoking his pipe and eating of the best, as though he were a born prince. Every day Klaus went to the little man in the hill with his pockets empty, and came back with them stuffed with gold and silver money. At last he had so much that he couldn't count it, and so he had to send over to Brother Hans for his quart pot, so that he might measure it. But Hans was cunning.
"I will see what makes Brother Klaus so well off in the world all of a sudden."
So he smeared the inside of the quart pot with glue. Then Klaus measured his gold and silver money into Hans's quart pot, and when he was done with it, he sent it back again. But more went back with the quart pot than came with it, for two gold pieces stuck to the glue, and it was these that went back with the pot to Brother Hans.
"What? Has that stupid Klaus found so much money that he has to measure it in a quart pot? I must see the inside of this business."
So off he went to Close's house, and there he found Close sitting in the sun and smoking his pipe just as though he owned all of the world.
"Where did you get all that money, Klaus?"
"Oh, I can't tell you that." But Hans was bound to know all about it, so he begged and begged so prettily that at last Klaus had to tell him everything. Then, of course, nothing would do, but Hans must have a try with the hazel staff also. Well, Klaus made no words at that. He was a good-natured fellow, and surely there was enough for both. So the upshot of the matter was that Hans marched off with the hazel staff. But Hans was no such simpleton as Klaus. No, not he.
"Oh, no, I won't take all that trouble for 2 poor pocketfuls of money. I'll have a bagful. No, I will have 2 bagfuls."
So he slung 2 meal sacks over his shoulder, and off he started for the hill back of Herr Axel's house. When he came to the stone, he knocked upon it, and it opened to him just as it had done for Klaus. Down he went into the pit, and there sat the little old elf, just as he had done from the very first.
"How do you find yourself, Hans?"
"Oh, I am very well. May I have some of the money that stands around the room in sacks?"
"Yes, you may. Only remember to take the best away with you."
Well, teach a dog to eat sausages. Hans would see that he took the best. Trust him for that. So he filled the bags full of gold and never touched the silver. For surely gold is better than anything else in the world, says Hans to himself. So when he had 2 bags filled with gold and had shaken the pieces well down, he flung the one over one shoulder and the other over the other, and then he had as much as he could carry. As for the staff of witch hazel, he let it lie where it was, for he only had 2 hands, and they were both full. Oh, but Hans never got his 2 bags of gold away from the vault, for just as he was leaving, the stone door began to close. Hans only had room to save himself. He squeezed through the opening, forcing him to leave the gold behind. This happened because Hans had not been wise enough to recognize the staff's value. And so that's how Klaus lost his magic staff. But it didn't matter much, for he had enough to live on and to spare. So he married the daughter of the Herr Baron, for he might marry whom he chose now that he was rich. And after that, he lived as happy as a fly on the warm chimney. Now, this is so. It is better to take a little away at a time and carry your staff with you than to take all at once and leave it behind.
I sure like that story, Princess Tamaltha, and it makes me curious as to what you can do with your staff.
Well, just watch.
The rain stopped! You stopped the rain with your magic staff!
Look out the window!
It's beautiful! The sun is peeking through the gray clouds, and there's a rainbow! Look, Princess Tamaltha, the colors are so clear! Violet, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red.
Of course, I never make a fuzzy rainbow.